and gentlemen, welcome to the TV Dads Podcast, episode number 6. I'm VexX, and as always, joined by our co-host, Mr. Johnny Zero.
The people's hero right here at your service.
How are you today, sir?
I'm doing good.
You know, there's a lot going on in the TV realm, or TV Dads Wrestling. Not the least of which is, if I'm not mistaken, for the first time ever, there's a top 10 list that isn't affiliated with the actual federation. Is that correct, sir?
Yes. It's causing a lot of controversy, but apparently this is the wrestling magazine. This is the D-Adapter take on it.
I don't know what D-Adapter means. Sir, what exactly is this list?
The wrestling magazines that are... from the world over, international and everything.
So what is this list called?
This is the PWI.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Yep.
Top 10.
Yep.
Of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Can you please give us that list and explain who they are?
Okay. Well, coming in at number 10. Now, this may shock a lot of people. At 243 pounds is, believe it or not, the Heckler.
The Heckler in the top 10, sincerely.
Yes.
You know, he is in contention for the heavyweight championship, so it's not that much of a shock. He's a new athlete.
And that's the part that blew me away. I know he's been doing some house shows, and then we're usually here recording, and we can't go to every show. We go to as many as we can, but my God, that's a pretty big deal, don't you think?
Well, good for him. He's establishing. That's nice. Who's in the number 9 spot?
Number 9 spot, outside of TV Dad Wrestling. This is from Chicago, and this is the Chicago Brutality Nux champion. It's Mr. Big Tony Soprano.
Mr. Big Tony Soprano. Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Never been in the TV Dad Wrestling Federation.
I don't know why. I don't know why, Henry Winkler isn't working the thing. So he holds a title elsewhere. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes. In the black and blue division, as they say, the Chicago, Minnesota, Detroit area.
Have you ever seen him perform or wrestle, sir?
Yes, I did. I happened to catch one match. I was splattered with blood in the front row. It was not a pretty sight. But whether or not he is even going to come to TV Dad Wrestling, we have no idea.
I'm going to do some research, and I'll come back next week, hopefully have some information. But, Mr. Big, Tony Soprano, who's in the number 8 slot?
In the number 8 slot, we have the Japan Unified Champion, which is the Samurai, Pat Morita.
Pat Morita, little known. He was on a sitcom in the 1970s, post-Happy Days, yep. that was literally on for 4 episodes, yep. and he played a TV dad.
Yep.
So he technically would qualify.
Absolutely.
If Mr. Winkler could work it. So what do we know about Pat Morita?
Well, we know that Pat Morita, he does use the crane move from Karate Kid.
Does he really?
In the ring. Now, it's not quite the same setup as not quite as flagrant as the Hollywood is the movie.
Now, Mr. Zero, I have a question. Is yes. that technically legal in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation?
Yes. Yes. Because a foot is legal. It's just like pro wrestling, NWA style rules. As long as it's not a closed fist and the referee doesn't see it.
Understood. Yeah. Understood.
And number 7 is Ricky Ricardo.
Who's part of the Luchadors, correct?
Yeah, yes.
And they're a tag team.
Yep.
So in singles competition, they're putting him at number 7. Can you tell me more about Mr. Ricardo?
Raylan Pega Ricardo, Lightning Ricardo, as he's called, he has just unified the Puerto Rico, Mexico, and Chilean championships.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is a very big deal because there is some question that he maybe has won the Bahama title as well, which would make him a 4-crown winner.
Is that substantiated, sir?
Yeah, it's not yet.
You would figure with TMZ and the internet. I mean, Puerto Rico did have a lot of damage recently, so perhaps
yes,
it's not where it
the
should
power
be.
Grid and so
yeah,
forth.
Of course.
But the and God bless them down there.
Thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely, absolutely. All respect. But, we have to wait. Apparently, there's a fast count in the Bahamas, and you're dealing with St. Croix and, with jurisdiction. We're talking about world international stuff, but he's made quite a scene. And he is also a middleweight. So, that may have been what pushed him down to number 7. But,
okay.
Because he comes in at 217 pounds.
Oh, okay. I understood.
Yeah.
Now, why would our viewers and our listeners understand? Where would we know him from?
We know him from I Love Lucy.
The original sitcom.
Yes.
If you will.
And his Hey Lucy's superkick.
Okay.
Hey Lucy!
That's pretty amazing stuff. I'm a little impressed. Or what's the next?
The next, this may is the El Macho Bonaduce.
What number is that, sir?
That's number six.
So number six.
Yes.
We all know Macho Man.
Coming at a solid 225 pounds on the dot.
Danny Bonaduce.
Which is just the from middleweight to heavyweight, which is the exact spot you can compete in both. Things, and I don't understand what happened with the. You would think he'd be a nat. I don't know what's going on with the Joni Cunningham rumors.
I was, you know, it's funny you say that. I was going to bring it up. I have information in reference to that. Yeah. They have become an official item. So, if you remember Randy Macho Man Savage in the 1980s in the WWF, he had Miss Elizabeth. So in a lot of ways, Joni Cunningham is becoming Danny Bonaduce's Miss Elizabeth.
I would think
we're
so
going to call her Miss Joni.
Miss Joni, absolutely. I think who do you think wants that to happen more, her or him? Because it kind of looks like she wants it.
Most definitely, what had happened is that Danny Bonaduce unceremoniously was eliminated from the television championship, the tournament. I'm sorry, the tournament of champions, if you will. He was eliminated, and Joni was like the first to run to his side and to console him and to make him feel better. And they have established a relationship now. Again, not unlike Randy Macho Man Savage and Miss Elizabeth.
Absolutely.
I have seen that Bonaduce's become rather overprotective of his new girlfriend. But hey, you know, young love, good for them.
Absolutely.
Thoughts and prayers.
Now, absolutely.
What's the next number?
All right, number five. Obviously, we have Fred Gwynn. I mean, do we call him a giant?
The thespian. We can refer to. I call him Frankenstein. He don't like that shit. I say, Mr. Munster. You know, he spits in my direction. Frankly, it offends me. Now, if you look, I'm decked out in bloody stash clothing. So I have a suit. I have a tie. I shouldn't be spit at by people, especially. I'm like, hey, Mr. Munster. And spit. Oh my God, it's so offensive, and I don't like that gentleman at all.
I agree. It's divisive. Me myself as well. It's really. I mean, it's standing at 6'9" and 343 pounds. I mean,
that's a whole lot of man.
It's a lot of man, but apparently, you know, a man is not always judged by his physical size.
You know, they don't even make bloody stash clothing that would fit him. So frankly, I'm glad that we're not associated.
Yeah. Well, he's doing well in the ring. I just. What a despisable person. And number four, we have World War II. We have Style Ward Cleaver. Cleaver.
The Fourth Reich.
The four R.
We don't. I guess we're not.
It doesn't necessarily say, but that is strangely the way I have no idea. But
little known fact about Ward the Cleaver is that his regalia, which is reminiscent of the Nazis in World War II, it's actually manufactured by Bloody Stash Clothing, and you can buy it online at bloodystashclothing.com.
Exactly. But then the other thing is, he may be, this is controversial, because of the beating of June, you know about June, the pictures.
I heard that she was into some very weird things sexually, and that perhaps they just were playing.
An entire cheekbone shattered.
Hey, man. Some chicks got to get hit hard. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I hear you, but we have an alternate for that spot should he be
knocked out because of who's the alternate number four?
Well, there's the Kentucky, their Kentucky State's Heritage Champion,
which is
Jed Clampett.
Jed Clampett, the Texas billionaire.
Yes.
He's scared.
But he's still, even though he's a billionaire, he still holds the Kentucky State's Heritage Championship.
I sincerely didn't know he was in competition.
Yeah, neither did I until I got the new PWI. So, But at number three, we have the working man, James Evans.
Of course, James Evans.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Don't know publishing. So yes, James Evans is in the number three position. Is that correct?
Yes, but I don't know any way to. These are fan. This is a magazine, so I don't know how to. He was defeated.
He was eliminated, but he's still a phenomenal athlete. Like, there's no two ways about it, and good for him.
Well,
for him, sir. Thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely. 6'3", 260 pounds. You know, and then at number two in the world, we have the Bloody Stash Butcher himself.
You know. Frankly speaking, he should be number one. Everybody knows it. This is a corrupt list. Like, there's no reason in the world that the great Bloody Stash Butcher himself, Michael Brady, should not be the number one person on the list to face whoever the new heavyweight champion could possibly be in the TWF.
I would love to see that match, but again, this is compiled by our statistics, sir.
It wasn't our statistics. I thought this was like this is
no. This is we go on five different categories. We do on fan voting. We do on their ranking in the world. We do it on ring science. We do it on strength, power, wrestling, technical ability, and aerial ability. And you know, the whole entire package. We compile those numbers with our system, and that's how it comes out.
Mr. Brady is a philanthropist. He collects money the world over for the Bloody Stash clothing, and then he feeds children everywhere. He loves teenage boys. He goes above and beyond to give them a better life.
So we hear.
What are you insinuating, sir?
I'm not insinuating anything. I agree with you that he loves teenage boys.
You know, that is suspect, sir. When you say it with that vernacular... Well, It's incorrect, frankly.
You're out of line, sir.
You're out of line, sir.
I'm telling you that his statistical readings is our readouts. This is the way it came out, and he is number two in the world currently. We haven't crowned a world heavyweight champion as of yet, so that's just how it is. This is an early PWI challenge, and in the number one spot is the Frontiersman. Charles Ingles, standing 6 feet five.
Of course, it's Charles Ingles. Of course.
Of course it would be. I mean, well, how are you going to...
How Mr. Brady has saved the lives of countless teenage boys throughout the world.
Well,
you're coughing on your own words, and you deserve it, because frankly speaking, to have Mr. Ingles be the number one competitor in the world for this magazine, this rag that you write for, I don't understand it. It's suspect. You're suspect, sir.
I think you're out of line, sir, because I think it's all based on their in-ring ability and his size, speed, ring science, psychology. This is not based on clothing lines.
You can't even write your own material. And I tell you you're suspect. You tell me I'm out of line like your hero does. Your number one athlete. Like, just so happens. The number one in the world. Oh, Charles Ingles. He's the best. The best.
I think the perfect storm speaks for itself. I've never
seen... As do I, sir. As do I. It is no kiss
I've
of
never,
death.
I have never seen anyone do a reverse jackhammer of Tinto, a step over turtle hold face front face lock. An STF combo with a face first jackhammer brainbuster.
Watch, this is me rolling my eyes.
Well, hopefully they will meet sometime in the future. And
thankfully, I get to read the official top five of the TDWF.
Let's see.
The TV Dads Wrestling Federation, as sanctioned by Mr. Perot. And governed by who? Who's our governor? You don't even know what I'm saying.
Howard Cunningham. Mr. C.
Mr. C's a legitimate and good man. Mm-hmm. So here we go. In the number five position, and they're tied for number five, whoever will win the TV championship.
Now hold on a second. If they're tied for number five, does that mean there's not a number four?
Well, it's a...
I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
No, let me explain. I can explain the list. Okay. Listen, no offense or anything. Yeah. I didn't question your list in front of our listeners.
Oh.
I didn't call you out for you having a corrupt list where your boy, Mr. Ingles, is just on top automatically. So I don't know why you can't allow me my time on air to express to you about the list of the TDWF.
You, sir, go ahead. Just go ahead.
You, sir, go ahead.
Just go ahead.
You're distorting the microphone with your loud laughing, Mr. Zero. Hey. Tied for the number five position is Ward the Cleaver and the Thespian Fred Gwynn. Whoever wins today and becomes the new TV champion will be the number five contender in the world.
Nice.
Now, the rest of the list are the remaining gentlemen in the elimination before we get to the heavyweight championship of the TDWF, okay? Mm-hmm. The number four position is Disco Diamond Lamont Sanford. Disco Diamond's a bad mother trucker, to put it lightly. He's come a long way. He began wrestling as the junk man with his father, who's moved on to his own thing.
Yes.
And now he's in singles competition, and he's in the fight for the heavyweight championship. So good for Disco Diamond. The number three position is The Rock, Mr. Arnold. Now, this is a shock. Just for our listeners. Good, you have something to say?
I'm not going to. Wait till you're done.
Red Foreman was in the elimination match, okay? And Red Foreman, unfortunately, was burned horribly by an accident. We don't really know what happened. It was not the Bloody Stash Clothing Company. It was not that. They just happened to be there. But this gentleman got burned beyond recognition. He's unable to compete. And Mr. Cunningham put The Rock in. And The Rock ascended. He's now in the fight for the heavyweight championship. So because of that, automatically, he is number three on our top five list. Any thoughts on that?
Well, he went 0-2 to begin with, and he got a lot.
You were incorrect. He defeated Mr. Brady by disqualification in the first match. So he went one and one.
And so in the books, that would count.
So he's a 1-1. Right.
Okay, fair enough.
So
okay, I stand corrected.
Incorrect in your
assessment. No, I stand corrected.
And this is further proving that your wrestling magazine that you write for is corrupt.
Well,
you don't understand what happens in the
history.
We all
know who won that match.
You rewrite it, and you just think that that's how things are. And the reality of it is this gentleman was 1-1 with his record.
Now
he's 2-1. Yeah. Moving right along. The number two slot in the TDWF top five rankings is Sick Van Dyke, the Heckler.
What is it with this guy?
He is not going away, sir. He has ascended. Number one, he barely makes the cutoff to compete in the heavyweight range. He might have weights in his pockets. I don't know. He looks like a very thin man, but he is in competition for the heavyweight championship. And it pains me to say it, but the number one slot and the number one contender in the TDWF is the Frontier's Lady, Charles Ingalls.
Oh, the Frontier's Lady. Drink milk, folks.
Drink milk.
Drink milk. But how is... We all know that. He's in the ring. But how is the Heckler ascended that quickly?
He's a devastating opponent.
And what about... How does the Tim Allen planting stuff in his locker room and the toxicology report...
Yes, you're right. Tim Allen definitely planted things in his own locker. You are definitely correct when you say
How does the toxicology report play into this? That is... I mean, why would Ingalls be putting his reputation on the line to stick up for Allen?
I can't speak on the front lady, on the Frontier's lady, Charles Ingalls. I don't have anything to
say. Have a little respect, sir. You, sir, are out of line.
And you are suspect, sir.
Yeah, you are suspect,
you know,
sir.
I see that you have some milk next to your microphone. Did you take payola? I don't know. Are you on the Charles Ingalls, like, milk tip? I couldn't advise you, sir. I cannot advise. But you highly suspect.
We live in a time where there's a rebellious act to stand for something.
I don't even know what that means. Watch this. That's me rolling my eyes. Johnny Zero on the microphone.
We'll see what happens in the ring.
Will we see what happens?
Absolutely.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is the final Tournament of Champions TV broadcast before our huge pay-per-view extravaganza.
Yes, call your local cable providers.
Exactly. It will be next week, so we're going to go through this today, okay? We're going to start it off hot and heavy right from the beginning. The first match will determine the first ever TDWF TV Championship.
Here we go, folks.
So here we go, folks. Facing off is Ward the Cleaver against the Thespian, Frederick Wynn. Anything you want to say about these two athletes before we begin, sir?
I heard that the only thing I have to say is I've seen some of the warm-up house shows. I know that Fred Gwynn has worked on a new move called the Final Judgment.
The Final Judgment.
Yes, apparently has something to do with his role in the My Cousin Vinny film.
Interesting.
And Ward is still tenderizing meat.
I want to stress something to you. Mr. Cunningham, again, is on hand. This is a big deal. This is the TV championship match. Do you know who the special guest referee is?
No, I don't.
The judge, Uncle Phil. Philip Banks from the Prince of Bel-Air. Bel-Air? Nice. Bel-Air.
Bel-Air.
Yes, he will be the special referee. He's a rotund gentleman.
Yes.
He's wearing his referee outfit.
Yes.
And he will be on hand to be the judge, Philip Banks.
Absolutely.
So here we go. The music starts. Who goes to the ring first? They're both heels. Who goes out first?
I would say that the Thespian.
The Thespian.
I think.
What music does the Thespian choose to come out to for his World TV Championship?
And this is probably, again, goes along with his character.
Yes.
Comes out Stone Cold.
Stone Cold. No music.
No music.
Not
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No,
nothing.
Nothing.
Like, he comes out and just works the fans with his facial expressions.
And he's carrying the Great Gatsby in his hand.
That's it. With his he couldn't be bothered, really. I mean, he's got his he's got his pipe in his hands. He takes off the thing. He's got his leotard on. He's a big, strong man. I mean, like,
sitting ringside with the color commentary staff is going to be the other two gentlemen in Cop Lives Matter. because this is a big deal. This is the TV championship. It has to be a fair match.
So Bob Uecker and Ted Knight are there with Griffith and?
Yes.
Wow.
And Barney Fife.
Wow.
So there's four microphones, four sets of headphones.
Did you hear that, folks?
It's a big deal. This is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a one-hour time limit. By all rights, it could go the distance. Yes. The problem being there must be a winner. Yes. So if they get to the 60 minutes and there is no winner, they will drop a cage onto the crowd. Or I'm sorry, onto the stage or the ring area, the ring apron, and they will fight it out until there is a winner.
And the World Television title has to be defended once a week.
One, every week.
Every week.
On television.
On television.
House shows do not count.
Do not. Yes.
If you're injured Thursday night at a house show, and Saturday morning rolls around for our live broadcast, you're unable to compete, you lose your title.
That's right. And you also get a seed to be a contender for the world's heavyweight championship.
I was under the impression you were the automatic number one contender if you hold the TV championship. Now, is that inaccurate?
It sounds accurate to me. We're going to have to confirm that with Cunningham.
Understood.
Yeah. So, that sounds reasonable to me.
I find it very exciting, though. This is our first championship that we're ever going to have in the Federation.
Yes.
It's happening on television because it is the TV title.
Absolutely.
The heavyweight tag title and the world's heavyweight champion will both be decided next week in the first pay-per-view. Call your local cable providers.
Yes.
It's a very big deal.
Yes. Call your local cable providers right now. DirecTV, we're available there. Please hurry up.
Now, the national music of the German nation, if that's how you put it, for Germany, is playing over the loudspeakers, and goose-stepping to the ring is Ward the Cleaver, accompanied by his two sons. You have Wally and the Beav, and they are there, and they are also wearing their Nazi regalia.
Although I'm noticing, why is Beaver bleeding from the nose?
Not our problem.
But Wally looks beat up as
well. You know, in the 50s, people kept to themselves. And when you were dealing with someone's family, that was their business. And we decided to look the other way.
Well, I get it, but this is on national television. The kid's, it's a kid bleeding down his face, man. You can see literally the older boy is even limping.
They're both carrying the 4R flags
Something's
over their
up.
Shoulders.
Something's
and
up.
They're approaching the ring for their father to possibly be the first crown champion
Something's
in
not
the
right there.
TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
Something's not
Johnny
right there.
Zero, if you will, can you please get the coin?
Yes.
Now, because it's the TV championship, it is the how are we flipping? It's not one flip.
Oh, you want to go 2 out of 3?
Best of three, yes,
Best
sir.
Of three, okay.
So we're going to give the heads to Gwyn.
Okay.
And the tail is going to go to our little not Nazi friend there. And the first flip is
Gwyn.
Oh my goodness! Hold on. Let me record this, sir. So Gwyn has won.
Oh, I hope for Beaver and Wally's sake that
the War of the Cleaver at least gets one fall.
I hope that he wins.
Oh, let's see what happens.
Because remember, they got to go home with him.
Let's flip. Oh, that's two in a row. Is that it? It's 2 out of 3, right? So is Gwyn the new television heavy? Oh, my goodness. The pandemonium, ladies and gentlemen.
Unbelievable.
Unprecedented. Fred Gwyn is the first heavyweight.
And he did. And what is it? He's coming to the microphone. What's he saying out there?
All right, here we go. We're going live. We're going live.
And I did it without wearing that damn bolts in my neck, and I have to paint myself green. You motherfuckers, you all thought I was a piece of shit. I'm the greatest actor ever.
It's a big deal. Fred Gwynn's the champion, the first ever. And when he wins, do you know what happens? The theme song to the Munsters plays, and he loses his fucking mind.
Yeah.
He throws a tantrum. He hits Fred Knight with the microphone. He's just losing it.
Yeah.
Or is Ted Knight?
Ted Knight with the microphone. Ted Knight and Uecker both.
Well, yeah. Now, Cop Lives Matter is there. They're celebrating. They're trying to calm him down.
Yeah, why? They're being awful friendly to him for whatever reason.
Well, they're associated, sir. They're associated.
Yeah, but if
Car 54, where are you, sir?
I get it, but I get the connection, but why is it that he's so against the Karloff curse, and he turned the Frankenhammer into the artist studio? I mean, and what the hell was Beaver doing on the ring ropes that when Ward went into the ropes that knocked him down? I see Ward Cleaver is beating. Hold on, do you see that? Ward is beating those boys out of they're in the parking lot.
It's the 50s. You look away. You mind your own business.
Why?
We have bigger fish to fry.
That boy has a broken leg, man.
Not our problem, sir. Not our problem.
Unbelievable.
We have to celebrate that the Thespian is the first ever heavyweight TV champion in the TV Dads Wrestling. I can't even take it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to break for commercial. What, we shall return.
Why was he even heads?
Cameras are following him.
Thank you so much. We are back from the commercial interruption. Mr. Zero, you're expressing yourself verbally during the break.
Well, we've had a camera follow the Cleaver car back to the house. This is not looking very good. It looks like somebody probably should call an ambulance
again. We look the other way.
Oh my God, June. Oh God, that's a woman, man. Come on, somebody get in there and do something.
She's into some rough things sexually. It's not
That's just not right, man.
So why are you so upset for these boys?
Jeff, go get see what you can call somebody. We'll get back to the taping.
Good.
Why are you so upset by this?
What I just saw is just disturbing.
Did you feel that Ward would be the first TV champion ever?
No, it's not that. Actually, yes, I did. I thought his wrestling ability was better than the Thespian.
The Thespian's a big man. He's a big man. Well, listen, we're going to go right back to the action, ladies and gentlemen.
If Wally hadn't and Beaver hadn't jumped on the apron and it distracted his attention, and that's where his anger, he started to flip out. As far as a straight-up wrestling match, I think Cleaver would beat him.
You know, he just lost. Mr. Zero, I'm sorry to cut you off. I apologize.
No, I it's okay. I'm congratulating Fred.
The ring music has begun, and running to the ring is our number two seed currently in the tag team championship, Urban Folklore.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Uncle Sam and Ghetto Santa.
Now, do you know who they're facing tonight?
Of course I do.
Who are they facing?
The Polkai Killers.
The Polkai Killers! Bundy Solo is back with his son, and they are in competition for the world's heavyweight tag team championship. But see, that's confusing because it's supposed to be love and marriage.
That's what I'm saying. Is he wearing his?
He's wearing Han Solo's garb yet again. He doesn't have on his shoulder pads. There's no spikes. It's going to be a hell of a fight.
But what is that going to do for the continuity in their tag team work in the ring?
Because
Bud is wearing the football
getup. You should ask Bud Bundy after the match how he feels about this.
Just saying, it affects things. Little things like that, folks, in tag team wrestling matter.
It does matter. So they go to the ring.
Yeah.
The bell, it begins. The match has begun.
Yes.
Johnny Zero, where does it go from here?
To be honest with you, although I like Bud Solo and I think he could probably give either one of them individually a run for the money. And listen, Bud could be a good wrestler at some point, but I don't see him being any match for Archie Bunker or for Fred Sanford.
All right, I want you to get the coin out, and I want to see something. The heads now is going to be Urban Folklore, and tails is going to be, and where'd it go? Up, it flew across the room. It'll take a moment to retrieve. Let us see who is the answer, and what is it, Johnny Zero? Who wins the first fall?
It is
the Polkai Killers. Dun 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 dun.
Unbelievable.
Second fall will go to.
Does that count? Because it wasn't on the thing.
And the second fall goes to Urban Folklore. Yes. And now we're going to go for the third fall, third and final fall. And it is Urban Folklore by a nose, ladies and gentlemen. They ascend to the world's heavyweight tag team match facing the Royals on pay-per-view television next week.
That is going to be a match for the ages.
A match for the ages.
Tag team clinic. Now, are they going to shut down the locker room water coolers and things? Look, I'm not saying Cosby. I'm not on this Cosby is guilty kick. Every man deserves his day in court, sir.
Does he? Are you out of line, sir? Is that what's happening?
Yes. Every man deserves his day in court.
You know, we have bigger fish to fry. We have to finish up the elimination tournament for the heavyweight championship before we run out of airtime. Leading up to next week. Next week, we're going to crown both the new tag team champions and the new heavyweight champion ever for TV Dad Wrestling Federation.
Yes.
So it's elimination. So in the ring for our first fall or our first match this evening in reference to the heavyweight championship, it is the Heckler. And he's facing off against Disco Diamond Lamont.
Unbelievable.
So here's where it gets interesting.
This is going to be a good match.
The match begins. Disco Diamond is actually, he's got a foothold. He's slapping around, if you will, the heckler in the ring with Disco Diamond. It's going to be a match for the ages, if you will. A match for the ages.
Absolutely. I'm not quite sure what to make of the heckler. I know Lamont, I would definitely give him the edge on the aerial skills. But as far as the entire package, there's a cerebral edge that the heckler just seems to have over opponents.
While they're wrestling in the middle of the ring and they're competing, and I'll be honest with you, Disco Diamond is doing very well. He's handling the heckler, who's a smaller man, and it's quite the match. He's putting on a clinic, if you will. He's doing very well. Yes. There's a vignette that plays over top for the audience to see. Now, the person in the ring, the referee, does not see it. He does not see this vignette, but it shows the heckler having a conversation backstage with Bill Cosby before the match. And you don't really understand what's happening, but it's kind of like murmuring, and he hands him like some money, and he gives him a little baggie.
Yes.
So now we're getting towards the end of the match. The heckler is a bloody mess. He's falling apart. It's triumphant. Like, Lamont has come into his own. He's going to finally do something phenomenal, and he's, like, happy, and the whole thing, and he raises his arm, and he turns his back to the heckler, and it's like, ah! And the crowd's like, ah! Lamont, right? It's happening. Disco Diamond Lamont's going to ascend, and the heckler blows some powder in his face, and he drops like a stone.
That's it.
One, two, three. Match is over. The heckler ascends in victory.
That's it. Unbelievable. This guy has just come and literally turned the Federation on its ear.
You got to understand. He's already, we think he might have framed the Tool Man.
Yeah.
He's out for 90 days.
Yeah.
And now he's going to face whoever wins the other half of the matches. He is in the competition. He's in the final match for the heavyweight championship of the world.
And not only that, but think about how Red Fox, or Fred Sanford, is going to feel when he let him go out wrestling in that disco suit, and he comes home with a victory like that. I mean, a loss like that.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Urban Folklore is going to go and maybe be heavyweight champions, tag team champions, and his son's nothing.
I see Grady in his voodoo outfit.
I think Grady runs out to the ring, and he tries to revive Lamont with his voodoo, and Lamont's just out cold, man. That's just the end of
it. Yeah, it's Serpent in the Rainbow, folks. Watch the movie. You'll see what I mean.
So what's left for the last match of the evening is we have Charles Ingles. Now, this is an interesting debate. I want to stress this to you.
Yes.
Charles Ingles is facing off. It's the best out of three falls, by the way.
Yes.
Against, are you ready?
Yes.
The Rock, Mr. Jack Arnold. No, it's going to be a technical, beautiful match.
Absolutely.
They're both heroes of the ring. It's going to be a positive, uplifting, and gathering.
Well, it's definitely a clinic.
It's going to be a clinic.
Yeah, they both have legitimate collegiate backgrounds. Catch as catch can for Ingles. Arnold has some NCAA and high school experience. He was a two-time champion of Iowa.
I believe so. I really can't speak on the matter. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. All right, TV Dads Wrestling Federation podcast, back from the commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to hand over the color commentary.
Unbelievable.
To Johnny Zero and what's happening in the ring.
It's a clinic in there, folks. As the usual, Arnold likes to take a part of the body and work it. He's done that. Some folks out there like to call them rest holds. But everything he does means something. It's pretty devastating what he's done.
Can you care to elaborate, please?
Well, he's trying to work on the left knee of Ingles, but Ingles keeps reversing and countering into a prairie lock and using the abdominal stretch, which I have not seen anybody use in years.
It's amazing.
And the abdominal stretch, and he does it on the ground, which I guess would be a guillotine, correct?
Oh, most definitely.
He's prairie locked him. It looks like Ingles flipping over, and here we go. And oh, highway to heaven!
Out of nowhere.
Here we go. Perfect storm, baby. That's it. One, two, three.
And that's it. Ingles ascends to the heavyweight championship
finals.
It's a big deal.
That's a pretty big deal. Yeah. That is a really big deal. Wait till we have some more visuals, folks. This is unbelievable. This is a big broadcast for us. And you nearly need to go out and support our Facebook page and our Locked and Loaded and VexX will tell you more about it.
Well, here's the thing. This is the first pay-per-view ever for the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. A la WrestleMania, if you will. If you do not go and call and support, the TV Dads Wrestling Federation might not survive.
That's right, big man.
Ross Perot has a lot of money, but I don't feel he's going to put a great deal into it if he loses money on the first ever pay-per-view to establish our first heavyweight champion, not to mention the first crowned ever World Tag Team Champion.
That's right, Jack. Absolutely. This is going to be a big deal. This is wrestling history. There's just not enough that words can say.
And I mean, we got to tell you, this is the Heckler versus Ingles for the world's heavyweight champion.
And we really need, do they have, when we have our, we're going to have our bios up and our pictures on our website. Have they seen how sick this guy is?
Yes, there is a meme. If you go to the Facebook page for TV Dads Wrestling, he does exist. It is Sick Van Dyke, the Heckler.
Yes. And, oh my God. How do you see that forward now, Vex?
I got to be honest. Who knows? I mean, the reality of it is, all right, Ingles is a superior athlete in every way, shape, and form.
I've seen nothing to say. The Heckler isn't a great wrestler, too. I saw some technical skill there.
I disagree, because in that first match specifically between Tim the Toolman, the Heckler was whipped around the ring like a rag doll. And let's be honest. Tim the Toolman is no
But he looked like he liked
Ingles.
It. He looked like he liked it.
It did appear.
I'm not saying that he's Luthez or anything, but I'm saying like it looked like he was doing that. Like the more he got beat up, the more he got better. He liked it or something. It's sick. Like he was literally getting. I mean, he started rubbing his nipple. I mean, like I don't know.
Explain it to the listening audience.
I don't know. It reminded me of Brady, but I don't know. And that's who he isn't. He been talking to them.
Explain.
Has he been talking to the BSC?
It's a clothing company. I can't speak on that, sir.
But the Heckler has those.
The Heckler does wear those jackets with the sequins. And we had established previously that he is sponsored by the Bloody Stash clothing line.
Well, that's got to be something.
And he's in cahoots, obviously, with Mr. Cosby. Yeah. How did he conjure that win? I mean, I don't know what happened. I think that maybe there was a little bit of like a sawdust, or what was that you think he used in the middle of the ring?
I really couldn't tell you for sure, but it seems like this guy's got another trick up his sleeve every week. But I did notice, though, in between all that he is a serious wrestler. The Heckler, Sick Van Dyke, is not just sick in the head, he's pretty sick in the ring, too.
So he can wrestle.
Yeah, I mean, he's got something to back it up with, is what I'm saying.
Now, if it's how do we substantiate, or how do we try to keep the Heckler from doing something illegal in front of the world stage. Like, this isn't a regular TV broadcast. This is the first ever TV Dads Wrestling Federation pay-per-view. What are we going to do?
Got it.
What is up Mr. Cunningham's sleeve to wet the whistle, if you will?
Yes.
Is it going to be a cage? Is it a three-tiered cage?
I would have to. I'm hearing rumors about what were you saying? The Pandora's Box?
Yes, sir. I've definitely heard about the Pandora's Box. This has actually been introduced to the Federation from the Heckler specifically. You see, again, a la the Joker from DC Comics, this man's a bit messed up in the brain. So what I'm reading up, breaking news over the course of the, I've got an email. I have just gotten an email from Mr. Cunningham. It is signed off by the Director of Operations, Henry Winkler. It is official. Ladies and gentlemen, it is official that when they have the final ring in the 2018 tournament to crown the world's heavyweight champion for the TDWF, it will be a three-tier cage.
Three tiers. Unbelievable.
So the first tier is inside the ring, and either side there will be a Pandora's box, one to the left and one to the right, in opposing corners.
Will there be a ladder to get up between? How do they get from one ladder?
You have to climb the cage.
Wow.
And there's some tool in one of the Pandora's boxes to unlock the trap door from the cage above you.
Unbelievable.
So as you ascend and you get to the second tier, it's a smaller cage.
Unbelievable.
So there's a lot less room to work with. There's another Pandora's box, only one this time, which will give you the ability to climb on top and get to the third tier.
Wow.
You must now be in the third tier. There is no Pandora's box. You have to figure out a way to get that door open. Now, it's probability that something from the bottom cages in the boxes will unleash the trap door on top of the third tier, and above everyone hanging on a hook is the world's heavyweight championship belt. Now, I want you to think of Ric Flair's belt and make it bigger and make it nicer.
Wow.
Like, it's a beautiful thing, and that is just that on the email that I read.
Unbelievable.
It's exciting.
Is there a ladder? How far is it down to the ring? I mean, what are they up, three stories at that point?
So you're looking, it's the first cage up to the top of it will be 10 feet. The second cage up is another 20 feet. And that's 20, 10 total.
Wow.
And then 30. So you're going above that.
Wow.
Above that. So you're looking at like, let me think, 10, 20, 30, 40 feet. You're 40 feet above the ring.
Unbelievable. And there is no pinfalls or submissions.
No, it's there isn't. That's the whole Noel. No, there isn't. You just answer. I'm reading as I see it.
Yeah.
As I go.
Yeah.
It's new.
Yeah,
there are no pinfalls. Yeah. You must get through the cage. Right. Now, here's something that's interesting. Whoever gets through the first cage first.
Yes.
You have to wait for the second person in order to get up to the second tier on top of that. So you both have to ascend to the second tier. Both athletes must leave the first tier and ascend to the second tier in order to have the ability to get to the third tier.
This might be one of the most chilling wrestling matches ever.
So here's
dangerous.
The thing.
Sounds
say
dangerous.
The heckler knocks your boy out. He knocks out Ingles, and Ingles is inside the first cage.
Wait,
and he ascends to the second.
I'm an objective journalist.
He must have Ingles somehow brought up to the second tier in order for them to get to the top of get to the third
tier.
Wow.
So one opponent could beat the other one into submission and have to
and
drag
get stuck
them.
Yeah, and having to drag the body up.
So even if they get to the top third, does that count for the
no, it's only for the first one.
Only for
so
the first
you
one.
Can ascend from the second to the third cage
yeah.
and through the top of the third cage to get the belt, but
wow.
you can't get up to the third unless you
wow.
are both up through the second.
Now, what are the limitations on what is allowed in the Pandora's boxes on each level?
Well, no, we don't know what's inside the Pandora's boxes. They're a surprise.
Well,
each athlete has to walk through a metal detector to get inside the cage on either side.
But are other wrestlers allowed to be inside? Are they big enough to hold
being? How can I speak on this? I have no information, sir.
Is,
this is an email that I received
this
right
is
now.
Unbelievable. Guys, you're going to have to go to our Facebook page and
weigh in on your opinions.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, if it was me, I would make some kind of a bond between the heckler and for Ingles to just work together to get out of the first cage up to the second. And then once everyone is in the second, then I'd begin the competition directly.
Well, you know that the heckler has a collection of snakes.
I didn't know this. No.
Yes, that's his hobby. I saw him on, he was just on Animal Planet.
Does Ingles...
It's a weird guy. I mean, nothing wrong with snakes. If you guys like snakes, you know, cool. But he's just a very strange person, but can you have a third person in one of them? Is that
sir? I can't speak on the information. I have no idea.
We're gonna have to, guys. You're gonna have to write in and facts. Just keep telling us what else.
Well, I've told everything that we have. Everything that so far, the information is here.
I've never quite heard anything like this in my life.
It's a three tier cage. It's called the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. The final elimination. That's what it's called. And so it's sanctioned. Like I said, specifically, there's no referee inside the cage in any way, shape, or form. It does say that at the bottom. So we're all going to be outside. I guess the governing body will be, you know, Mr. Cunningham along with Mr. Winkler.
Yep.
They're going to be there, and they will, you know, once it happens. Because I don't think even though you get – no, if you get up to the physicality of the third tier on top of it, once you grab the belt, you just win. That's you just win. That's it.
So it's almost like a ladder match. But do you have to – go back down to the bottom of the cage and hit the floor for it to count?
No. Once your hands take that belt off of the hook, you are the new world's heavyweight champion.
Wow. And wow. This is just that is a really dangerous.
It's a stunning development.
It's a stunning development. I've never quite heard of such a thing in wrestling.
Now, my question to you is, does Ingles have any issues that we know of with snakes? Is there a problem there that we should know about?
No, not that I'm aware of.
I mean, he worked on a farm. He must be like, equivalent to these animals.
Last time he grabs them by the throat and chokes them out.
Well, that's interesting.
As far as I know. Or, sets them free somewhere or whatever he does. I'm not his personal, assistant or anything like that. I just, this is a heck of a match. I can't believe the heckler has made it into the finals.
Why are you so surprised?
Well, he's just took the wrestling world by storm.
He is a new athlete. It's true. He has not been established. He's technically the first vignette to ever be aired ever, right? On the TV program, though, was the heckler, and he was heckling your boy. Yeah. You know, he was like trying to mess with Mr. The Tool Time. He was
throwing crack pipes right on the floor.
Crack pipes right on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely, he was. But the thing about it is, Sick Van Dyke has a career, though. He's never really been... he's held different regional titles and so forth, but he's never really stayed in one promotion at a time. He usually comes, he starts trouble, he leaves, he goes to another one. He's been in Japan, he's been to Puerto Rico, he's been to Canada. Remember that Canada run? It's in the magazine.
Sure, sure. So that rag you write for, sure.
Yeah, you know, the written page, but I think it's a great main event. I would have liked to have rather seen Brady, but versus.
Brady's dog that. In the fight was really Stashberg, because Stashberg's part of the Bloody Stash Clothing Corporation.
Yeah, absolutely.
He wanted him to compete most because he's a heavyweight. But it's kind of like a la Bing John Studd facing off against Hulk Hogan type of thing.
Absolutely. But wouldn't you like to see, like, Ingles Brady, like, just once and for all, like, you know, boom.
I got to be honest. I'm a little impressed with what we do have. This is the product that we can present to the people. It was an elimination tournament. I'm not doing sour grapes. I do love Mr. Brady. I do think that he is the superior athlete and that he would definitely defeat Ingles handily.
Well, I doubt that.
I
think it'd be a great match.
You've brought it up as well because you understand it's a bit of a travesty that we should have Brady in the finals. He should be facing off for the World's Heavyweight Championship. But the falls go the way they fall. You know, the quarter flips and then it makes the decision. And that's where we're at.
Now, bottom level is we should do five flips. Heads is face. Tails is, you know, heel. Once the championship is decided, heads is the champion, tails is the challenger. If you get the best of five, you get three in a row of either side. That's a dominant win. Then you automatically go to a coin flip of how it's done, head being pin. You know, tails.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Yeah. I'm your friend, and you lost me. So can you start at the beginning and say it like a little clearer? And
Sorry.
I have no idea what you're saying.
For big time matches.
No, this is the match. This is the match. Go ahead.
We're gonna do five coin flips.
Okay.
Okay. Heads being the baby face, tails being the heel.
Always is, no problem.
Right, but that changes once the champions are established. Heads is always the champion. Heels is the challenge.
But there is no champion, so we're talking about this one. So when we do this match, you need to win three flips out of five to be the heavyweight champion of the world.
Absolutely.
And then we'll write the script from there, and we'll depend what happens. Yeah.
And if it goes back and forth, then it depends on how long the match is. Now, if it comes out and it goes heads, then the Ingles came out and whipped them. And then you flip how it was. Was it by, you know, did he knock him out or was it a pinfall? Now, this is a little different because it's a Pandora's box match, so we won't have to do that second pinfall. But this...
I got to tell you, there's a lot of information at our hands. So phones also,
phones ringing off the hook.
Yes, they are. The phones are ringing in the background. Emails are coming in at all times. Phones ringing off the hook. Emails going everywhere. The press is blowing up. This is the first ever pay-per-view for the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. And I got to tell you, folks, there's so much more in the evening. I know that we just discussed in great detail the heavyweight championship competition. However, the Royals are facing Urban Folklore in, are you getting this? A gas mask match. A gas mask match because we have Cosby has this whole thing with the drugs. So this way, everybody has on a gas mask, and it's a real wrestling extravagance.
That's a main event anywhere in the country,
anywhere in the world. Gas mask.
That's a tag team,
and they are going to crown the first ever world's heavyweight champion.
Unbelievable!
Now, just added to the card, the first ever defense of the world's heavyweight TV championship. I want you to guess who he's going to face off against. We have the Thespian. Do you know who he's going to face?
It's got to be the rematch with Ward.
It's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Ward the Cleaver comes back, and he's going to go for the world TV champion.
What about Bonaducci?
I don't know what to tell you. This is what came down. Yeah. Mr. Cunningham agreed completely. Okay. The match was so good, it's time for a rematch.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And that is the first ever defense of the World Television Champions Championship for the TDWF. This is an action-packed evening. They are introducing for the first time ever. Are you ready for this? Yeah. Mr. Big Tony Soprano with Tony Danza. Tony Soprano and Tony Danza. Yes. They're going to face off in a tag team match against the Luchadors.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable competition here in TDWF land.
That's unbelievable. And he's got the OG stretch and the Capone clutch.
The two Tonys.
Oh, unbelievable.
So it's the two Tonys facing off against the Luchadors. Explain the Luchadors to our listening audience.
George Killer Lopez. And,
it's Bang Bang Lopez.
Bang Bang Lopez, as he's depending on the federation, of course. He's Bang Bang here. Ricky Ricardo or Relampega Ricardo, if I'm saying it correctly, is the Lightning Bolt. Rumor has he trained Starman, if you remember the Nintendo.
From Pro Wrestling
on Nintendo.
With the Somersault Kick. I got to tell you, the Luchadors have become a tremendous fan favorite. Tremendous. Yes. The house shows have been off the hook, and these guys have risen to prominence. They're going to make their first ever networked premiere. It's going to be on the pay-per-view, which is a big deal. The Luchadors against the two Tonys.
Yes, absolutely. And, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Capoeira, if I'm saying it, Capoeira. We used to say have a Coke and a smile. He is have a capoeira and a smile. and some people say to this day he was the model for the flip kick on Pro Wrestling, the video game from Nintendo of the Starman character.
And that's unsubstantiated, sir. We can't. It is unsubstantiated,
but he did train with the Gracie family. So Royce Gracie, I don't know if you heard the coup de grace, but he has a Coup de Gracie is his finishing move, which is a submission hold where the opponent is pretty much rendered useless.
This Justin, I have an email, and we are going to have the first ever competition between Genghis Khan, who has never appeared before in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. We do not know who he is. He is the masked man against Peter the Great. Peter the Great, who's breaking away from the Brady Boys tag team, and they're going to fight for, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. I can't. The lightweight championship for the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. It's shocking. Ladies and gentlemen, this pay-per-view is shocking. Could you please tell us more what you know about Genghis Khan, please?
Other than he has a spinning corkscrew, that's a 720 sideways moonsault from the top as his finishing move. He's been known to spit blood and or some kind of red mist. It's just a very nasty, nasty competitor. Although what he lacks in physical height, he is wide, and it's not somebody you want to play with. He's a very good ring technician. One of the dirtiest customers I've ever seen. I think he's falling under the radar. I don't know too much about him. There's all kinds of rumors floating about. He has to be connected to somebody or he would not be eligible. Cunningham must know. I really won't know until later. Maybe you can tap your sources.
I'm glad you filled us in. Peter the Great, I want to stress, is a part of the Bloody Stash Clothing Corporation. He is sponsored by his father, but he's breaking out on his own. And from what I see, he's adorning himself in white trunks with a flowing white robe, and he's just referring to as Peter the Great. Again, this is a fresh email. It's right off the press. I don't understand. I didn't even know that there was a lightweight title. And I guess
does he get sprinkled with gold sparkles?
No, sir? He's completely independent. Completely independent. He's going under, and it seems that there's some crowd support behind Peter the Great. He seems to be kind of on the face side, which is astounding because, frankly speaking, no one understands the Bloody Stash Clothing Corporation, and they don't give them any credit.
He was I believe it.
Now I want to redo this. I want you to understand what you're getting for the first pay-per-view ever for the World TV Dad Wrestling Federation. Okay, so here's what we have. For the first time ever, the two Tonys competing against the Luchadors in your opening match as a tag team championship. No, I'm sorry, not a tag team championship. They're just in a tag team competition. We've never had the Luchadors ever. They've gotten so much fanfare. They're added to the pay-per-view against the Hitman Tony Danza and Mr. Big Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that, sir?
I think that right there alone is worth the price of admission. I mean, you're getting you're getting four world class athletes for the first their first ever appearance in TV Dad Wrestling in general.
This is the only match of the evening that is not involving a heavyweight champ, actually a championship.
No, but
in any
but if you think about the aerial tactics of and versus the power tactics, and yet they both have. I think it'll be a nice matchup. I really do. I think that'll be a really good match in the ring. I'm saying for you hardcore wrestling fans that
I gotta be honest,
mark out.
The luchadors are nothing to mess with. They're bad mamma jammas, as they say.
Absolutely, and Lopez isn't a lightweight by any chance.
No, but Mr. Big is tremendous. This is like Andre the Giant stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
The second match of the evening
is
the first ever match for the lightweight championship, which has never existed before now.
Yep.
All of the competition leading up to the elimination was done off of the TV camera. This is all done in the house shows only, and it features Genghis Khan, who none of us know anything about, and Peter the Great, who we are well introduced to. We understand Peter the Great because of the television program.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be a hell of a match.
And from what I understand, I just caught a little bit of a promo. They're telling me, well, I caught a little bit of a rumor about a promo. Does anybody remember Sir Mordred from Excalibur? He's spinning around as he comes up, being sprinkled with gold dust by...
You're out of line, sir.
By Brady, but I don't know if that's true or not. I know it's his son, but...
You're suspect, sir.
I don't know, sir. You might be out of line, sir.
The third match of the evening is the first ever defense of the television championship for the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. It is the Thespian, Quinn, defending in his rematch against Ward the Cleaver.
Yes.
Being accompanied by his family.
That's assuming he hasn't been locked up by the pay-per-view, folks. Remember, cards are always subject to change.
No money back. There is no refunds.
I got it, but I'm hearing some bad things about June.
I heard that she's awful as well. Yes, I've heard the same bad things about June. She is not a good person.
From what I understand, she's in a coma.
I think she's on Craigslist, and she's seeking out weird physical intimacy with people she does not know.
You're out of line, sir. You're out of line, sir. You beat the woman into a coma.
Very, very exciting. Very exciting as we get to see the Royals, the number one seed for the World Tag Team Championship, facing off against fan favorite Urban Folklore.
Yes.
This in and of itself could have been the entire the card, the match. This could have been the main event. It is not the main event. It is the undercard of the main event, but it could have been by itself. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. I believe so. I think Urban Folklore has done that in fire halls, bingo halls all across the country. They go to little towns that no one else would. And to have that kind of matchup at our first pay-per-view is, well, I mean, folks, you gotta tune in.
And I want to stress again, this is a gas mask match.
Yes.
Everyone will be wearing a gas mask in the ring, which just creates all kinds of like oddity and like breathing and like cardiovascular issues.
Well it could also protect them from Cosby's.
Well, that's the point.
Cosby's
that's the
drugging
point.
Them.
Is the commissioner has said, I don't want to have any hijinks in reference to my heavyweight tag team championships being decided.
Absolutely.
And the final match of the evening, the hands down, the heavyweight championship convention, that is the main event.
Yes.
Competition of the greatest caliber. It is Charles Ingles versus the heckler, Sick Van Dyke. Now, this is a three-tier cage match, ladies and gentlemen. In the
Pandora's
first tier,
boxes.
In the first tier, there is a Pandora's box on each corner, caddy corner to the stage.
And folks, just so you know, there can be anything in those Pandora's boxes.
In order to ascend to the second cage, you must open one of the Pandora's boxes, find said key or whatever the element is, the implement is to get up to the cage.
Yes.
And in order to even think about ascending from the second to the third cage, both athletes must be present inside of the second cage.
For all we know, that one of the Pandora's boxes could be an explosion. It could be a person. It could be an explosion. It could be anything. Am I right?
It is true.
Or different weapons.
It literally could be anything. We have no idea. The Pandora's box is just that. It's subject to change. It could be anything at all. When you get through the second cage to the third cage, there is the last Pandora's box.
Yes.
There's the last box, and you have to use that to get up to the top of the cage
where the world
the world's heavyweight championship is just awaiting the victor.
And that is the heavyweight championship of the world, folks. The real belt hanging, dangling in the air.
Again, I want you to call your local cable providers. I want you to be ready. This is the TV Dads Wrestling Federation first ever pay-per-view event.
Absolutely.
We are the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. We are on the Loud and Loaded Network, which you can listen to anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can download Podbean. You can go to your app of your choosing and find Loud and Loaded. Underneath Loud and Loaded, you can find the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. Yeah. Anything else, Johnny Zero?
That's it. We got more stuff coming, folks, but this is going to be one hell of a pay-per-view you don't want to miss.
So Episode 7 will be the first ever TV Dads Wrestling Federation pay-per-view.
Ow!
And we will have the new heavyweight champions. We will have the new tag team champions. We will have the new lightweight champion and the first ever defense of the TV title.
It's better than wrestling, folks.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.